we're in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, and we're kind of like going, well, we might have a couple parents here from a Vacation Bible School, so let's just choose like a really good passage to just, you know, folks who aren't maybe very used to the Bible, kind of get them in. So we, in our brilliance, chose the hardest passage like in the entire Bible. Okay, that's what we're looking at today. Like some would say like this is like the hardest passage in the whole Bible. I think that's brilliant on our part. That's just where we come. We're committed to going through the Bible just word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse. We think the Bible is extremely practical on the most important things in life, which are relationships. First of all, how to have a relationship with this God that made us, that loves us, that came to die for us. How do we do that? And then how to have a relationship with one another in marriage, in church, in family, in society. The Bible's about relationships. When you boil life down, that's ultimately what all of life is about, relationships. And in relationships, there's communication. Sometimes, Jeff, you know what I'm saying? You know, Fuzz, you know where I'm coming? You know, like, there's supposed to be communication. The ladies are all over that. The guys are not giving me like the big nod. Like communication? Are you kidding me? Communication. That's like a big thing. And so we're going to talk about like the most important thing there is, and the most important part of that thing, which is communication today. That's what the passage is all about. So that's what we're going to talk about. Two questions at the very front end, maybe three. Number one is like, why are you here? Well, because you tricked me, you got my kid to come up here, and now I'm stuck. Okay, I didn't want anybody to see me leave, so like I'm stuck here. Okay, well, that's cool. We're glad you're here. Others, why in the world are you here? Why'd you come today? Why? This is a great day to be out fishing, and you know, I mean, like, why are we here? Why do Christians get together? And it seems like when they get together, like they do a lot of singing and talking, communicating. What is that all about? Why do we do that? And we hear I bailed out of church as a teenager. I'm like, man, what a colossal waste of time. Folks just getting together and gabbing and, you know, singing a couple of songs. It's like, what a waste. And so I bailed as a teenager. My parents finally gave up on me. It's like, I'm out of here, man. This is what a waste of time. So why am I here now? Well, you guys pay me to be here. No, and my wife makes me come, okay? But beyond that, there really is something that's happened on the inside of my heart, I think by the work of God, that I want to be with believers. Here's the phrase we memorized last time, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're in the book, again, of Corinthians, a letter written to a bunch of believers in a city called Corinth. And a fairly new church, and they were like, I mean, these are Christians gone wild. I mean, they're just like really messed up, okay? They had a lot of the worst church like in the whole like world at the time, you know? Like a lot of stuff really messed up. That's why we can learn a lot from them, because I'm kind of messed up, and I don't know, some of you are too, all right? So we're learning about, how to do life with God and how to do life with one another, how to do church together, and like why we gather. The whole book is really about us doing life together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 is really, I think, the summary phrase for chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13 and 14 in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we memorized it last time. The first word, this is 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. The first word is love. Everybody say love. Love. When you think of that, we're not talking about what the Beatles wrote about necessarily. You know, we're talking about sacrificing for the welfare of others. We're talking about really, really valuing other people and doing what love dictates. You know, if you really value another person, what does that mean in the way you communicate and the way you do life with them? Well, here's what it means. The second word is edifies. Edifies means to build up, to strengthen, to grow. So the phrase is love edifies. Let's say that together. Love edifies. That's true in a marriage. That's true in a family. It's what parents do with children. It's always the question is, what can I do, like in my marriage with Karen, what can I do to build her up? What can I do to strengthen her in life? I want to say, I want to behave, I want to do what it is to strengthen her. That's edification. And so in the church family, why do we gather? Love edifies. Why do you go to church? Well, I don't like the word go to church. We're part of the church. We do life together. We meet here. We meet at other times as well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make the case today, if I get to it, that when we talk about church, ecclesia. Jesus said, I came to build my church. We're talking about church. We're talking about the gathering of God's people together, and then they do life, you know, as they're doing life together, they do life in society. When we're talking about church, we're talking about gathering as a church. We're talking about really two things, large group and small group. That's how they did it plainly in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the history of the early church. They gathered together in small groups and homes or wherever they could. They gathered together in large groups. And so we want to do the same thing. So when we think of are you a part of a church, you got to think of it, I think, to understand the Bible and apply it, not leave stuff out of your life. You got to do it in small group and large group. To just attend just makes no sense when you're reading the Bible. You're having to break so many commands, it's not funny. You get together in large group. We do things together in large group that you can't have everybody talking and conversing. I guess we could. I'd like to do that, but it'd take all day. But then you get together in small groups, and most of what we're going to read today is small group stuff. You're in a group of like 12 people, 15 people, 8 people, where you can really do life together and really communicate with each other. So we'll make that case as we go on. You can't obey the passage, I don't think, unless we do it that way. So love edifies. We get together to build up each other. You can't really do that sitting in the pew very well, but you can certainly do that before this gathering. You can do it after this gathering. You can do it in small group, big time, okay? And hopefully it's my goal that that you be built up today. So here's why we get together. Love edifies. God's given to us a family, and God has placed love in our hearts, a value in our hearts for one another. That's why we gather. Love drives us to gather. It's not a law. It's not to come and make business deals. It's to because we love each other and love edifies. All right, so the next question would be, as we get into this thing, well, you know, I mean, how could God use me to edify somebody else? I don't know that much about the Bible. Like, I don't know what to say to anybody. I don't even like to talk, you know. I mean, and I had an education from Manatee County, so I can't even read. You know, I mean, even study to figure out something to say to somebody. You know, I'm a graduate of Manatee High School. Come on, okay, and Manatee Junior College, where I almost learned how to read there. Okay, I get that. I'm a guy. You know, guys don't like to read. We don't like to talk. We don't like to communicate. Like, what is that? How can I be used to edify other people? Well, for me, when I became a Christian after going through the college thing and then the rock and roll thing, and then God got a hold of my heart, and God gave me a love for himself, and then he gave me a love almost at the same time for his people, and I started getting with him. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know how to. I hated to read. I hated to talk. I never talk in front of two people, like, ever. I mean, just like this, like this whole thing, like, this doesn't fit me. It just doesn't fit me, who I am, you know. I'm a guy. And yet, I could do this. I could practice that first thing. Love edifies. Couldn't really do the edify part, but I could do the love part. Here's the second verse we want to, or second part of a verse we want to memorize. It's chapter 14, verse 1. So we did chapter 8, verse 1. Here's chapter 14, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Pursue love. First two words of the verse of our text today. Pursue love. Pursue means you choose to focus on it. Choose to focus on valuing other people. Pursue love. Let's say that together. Pursue love. One more time. Pursue love. I can choose to value other people. And so what happened to me is I didn't like to read. I didn't like to speak. I didn't like to meet in a small group. That's horrifying. That's just terrifying for me. And yet, I knew from reading the Bible I needed to pursue how to build a relationship with other people in God's family. I just knew that. I mean, it's plain, just like every page of the Bible, you couldn't read it. So I can't chuck half the Bible. I can't chuck, like, you know, four-fifths of the Bible and just do the private stuff. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to follow Jesus. So I needed to just gut it out and just start meeting with believers and just listen. If it's about communication, a major part of it, then in communication, you not only babble, don't babble at all, you not only talk, but what do you got to do? You got to listen. So I figured I can do that. I can value other people. I'm scared to death, but I can listen. I can go, I can be a part of a small group of believers, and I can listen. And I don't have to say nothing. I can just listen. And I can show that I value other people. If I hear about something that I can do, they need help in some way, they need a faucet fixed or whatever, I can do that. So that's what happened to me. And here I am. I don't know. What am I doing here? You know, it's crazy. You know, but here I am up in front of a whole bunch of folks, and I'm you guys pay me to yell at you. You know, it's amazing. All right? So that's what's happening, okay? So love edifies. Therefore, chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. And in pursuing love, there's an emphasis on communication, communicating that love to one another. All right? By the way, this is a little aside. The first goal is to answer those two questions, the what and the how question, or the why and the how question. But the second, this is a little aside. We love for folks to read the Bible here. We want to, by what we do in large group and in small group, we want to teach you how and model how to read the Bible for yourself. I'm just a messenger boy. I get some of the stuff right. Some of it I'm going to say it probably today a whole bunch of times. I don't know, but don't miss the big idea. And so how do you read the hardest passages in the Bible? This is maybe the hardest passage in the entire Bible. You're going to hear me say a whole lot. I don't know, but don't miss the big idea. Because in the hardest passages in the Bible, just like every passage in the Bible, stuff is emphasized. And you can get the big idea stuff. And whenever you all get the big idea stuff down, we can focus on the details. Okay, but let me know when you get the big idea stuff down. All right, it takes long enough to do that. All right, so don't lose, don't give up on the Bible just because you don't get. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't have anybody to study with. I went back to the church I grew up in. The pastor there told me after I just enthusiastically shared what happened to me, God turned my heart on. I'm in love with God. I'm in love with God's people. Man, I'm in love with God's word. I just want to know God, man. And the pastor, he just sat there, he listened to my tirade, you know. And when I was all done, I was out of breath, I was all done with my excitement. He just paused, very professional, and he told me, "You'll get over it." So I'm thinking, hey, this is, you know, I'm looking at the Bible, I'm looking at this guy, I'm going, nah, that's probably not going to work, okay? So I started hunting for a church that, I didn't care about my tradition. I figured, I got a Bible. I got half a brain. I got a manatee education, but I can still learn. I can still learn how to read, and so I just started to look for something that was matching what I was reading in the Bible. Okay, and that's what I'm encouraging you to do. No matter what your tradition is, just what matches what you read in the Bible. Look for that. All right, so here we go into the hardest passage in the entire Bible, chapter 14, verse 1. I may say it again sometime in our ministry as we're going through another passage, but this is definitely one of them, okay? Chapter 14, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 12, he has introduced spiritual gifts. There's abilities that God gives to us, and he gives different ones to different folks. Verse 7 of chapter 12, it's for the common good. You have this in your outline, by the way, some excerpts from chapter 12. It's for whatever ability God gives to you, it's to bless other people. It's for the good of other people. The end of the passage, verse 27 and following of chapter 12, he says plainly there, not everybody gets the same gift. And this is really important. Not everybody gets the gift of prophecy or teaching or working miracles or healing or tongues that we're going to talk about today or interpretation of tongues. You know, God gives different gifts to different people. So if anybody's ever told you, hey, you got to have the gift of tongues or you're just second rate, that's poppycock. Not everybody gets that gift. Okay, some say that the gift's for today, some say it's not for today, whatever. Point is, not everybody gets the gift. So don't let anybody put you in a box. I by the way, as I talk about this stuff, one of my degrees is from an Assembly of God college, and that's a Pentecostal college, and I've been a pastor in a Pentecostal/charismatic church, and I've been trained in this stuff, and so, I get it, okay? I've been there, spent years there. I get it. I've never spoken in tongues. I didn't ever expect. If God wants to do that, that's cool, I don't think God's put us in a box where it's either for today or not for today. I don't think he says that in Scripture. It's just open-ended. We don't know. But I've come to a place in life, hopefully I was at a place in life way back, but I've come to a place in life where, I'm approaching 60, and I just want to be real. I don't want to manufacture stuff. I just want to be real. And I want to be a little bit like the FBI who looks for like false money. I don't want to buy that stuff. I don't want to get that stuff in my hand. You know, how do you spot the false? You look at the true. You don't have to study the false stuff. You just look at the true. And this is one of the passages. And if you're in a church, if you're, you know, coming here and you're from somewhere else and you're part of a church or you're looking around for a church and there it's not following these guidelines, you know, that's a problem, okay? No, there's no perfect church, but that's just it's a red flag. And so we're going to look at God's direction today for the use of prophecy and tongues. Is it for today or not? I don't know, but we're going to look at the genuine, and you make up your mind, all right? So chapter 13, by the way, is about all the gifts we use them in love for one another, or it's meaningless. In a chapter 12, not everybody gets the same gifts, including tongues, very plainly. And now we pursue chapter 14 and its interpretation. Chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. Why? Because, you know, love edifies. Love builds others up. That's what we want to pursue. And desire spiritual gifts. So that's a command. I need a desire that God would give me what he desires to give me, and I want to use it for the good of other people. That's a desire that God's placed on my heart. It might be a scary gift, but I still want to use it. Gift of teaching. That's crazy, and yet God's gradually growing that on the inside of me, for example. So desire spiritual gifts. I believe that God can add gifts to your palate as you go along. There's no passage that says he can't. And the desire of spiritual gifts might be for the entire body, desire that God brings more gifts into this body, and it might be for you personally as well, or both, probably both. But especially that you might prophesy. We went through this last time, kind of introduced the passage last time. What's prophecy? Most of it, you can read the prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament, most of it is just guiding people to God's word and the application of God's word. Some of it is telling future stuff. But most of it, just guiding folks to God's word. Some people have a special gift toward that. Verse 2, and that's a good gift for all of us to desire. Not everybody's going to get it, though. Verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue, and just translate that language, glossa, just means language. One who speaks in a language, it's less freaky, okay? Just translate language. One who speaks in a language doesn't speak to men but to God. So something's going on between him and God. No one understands. That means like nobody's in the congregation understanding. In his spirit, though, on the inside, he's speaking mysteries. And like what is this? I don't know that I've ever seen the reality of this. I've seen many, hundreds, thousands, honestly, of people, thousands, literally, of people claim to speak in tongues. I've never seen anything that I, and in my spirit, I'm going, that's legitimate. Okay, what we're told, and if you've ever wondered about the Pentecostal movement, what we're told by the leadership is when you help somebody speak in tongues, and I'm not making fun of it, okay? This is these are brothers and sisters, some of them. I'm not sure about the ones with the big white poofy hair and the big, you know, all the bling everywhere, but you know what I'm saying. Some of them are brothers and sisters, the responsible ones. And so how we do that, like if we're going to have, here's how to speak in tongues after the service today, come down, we'll lay hands on you, we'll get it going. What I'm supposed to do is tell you just relax, loosen up, and just begin to speak syllables. Just relax and begin to speak syllables. And God will provide. You're a believer and you're surrendered to him. And then God will take that and transform it into this tongues thing. And again, I'm not making fun of it. That's some of us here that's what you believe and that's what you do in your own homes. And I don't make fun of that. But if you've been wondering how it works, and if anybody's here and they do it and they do it a different way, correct me. But that's how you learned. Okay. Again, I've been around this for years, and so you just let go, and then God just kind of takes those syllables. And I'm looking at this. I'm just going, man, I don't know. I'm not seeing it. Okay. I don't know. All right. And if there is this prayer language, which it seems to be not a German or French or whatever, it seems to be like a language that nobody understands, say a heavenly language, maybe it's like this. This is a thought. Maybe what's why would God do that? It seems weird. Maybe it's like this. All the miracles in the Bible, what are they about? Like whenever Jesus did a miracle, why did he do that miracle? Like every one of them. They are to demonstrate who Jesus is, that he's God in a body, but they're also to point to, and he did them out of love for people too, to bless people and out of love for people, but he also did them to demonstrate the kingdom. He's the king, and where the king is, the kingdom is, and so he would do all the miracles that he did. They were always to bless other people, but they pointed people, they were a little taste of the coming kingdom. No storms in the coming kingdom. Plenty of food in the coming kingdom. No disease, no death in the coming kingdom. Like that, okay? So every miracle seems to be to point to the coming kingdom, and so if we look at this miracle, and we truly heard someone play in some kind of a heavenly, truly heavenly, understandable language, if you're a citizen of heaven, already there, like an angel, or a saint that's gone on. If that was the case, and that was what was going on, if that's what's happening, maybe it's like this. God is giving a taste of the coming kingdom, of a universal language in the coming kingdom, and maybe God's using that person that's speaking in that language, that heavenly language, as an ambassador to give us a taste of what it's going to be like in heaven, but understandable. Nobody's going to need to translate there, obviously. And then an interpreter accompanies the ambassador to interpret for us. So it's like a messenger from another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven coming here, and then you got an interpreter with them. Maybe that's the display that God's putting on. That's the best my little brain can make out of it, okay? I'm not sure, though, all right? Verse 3, stick to the text. Don't worry about that. Verse 3. But one who prophesies, I mean, God's given him a word on the inside, and he's applying God's word to the life of the people, speaks to men for edification, that's upbuilding, exhortation, that's, again, upbuilding, and consolation, that's to console folks that are facing a tough time. And that would commonly accompany the prophets. Judgment's coming, but the Messiah's coming also. Okay, judgment's coming, but there'll be peace at the same time coming after that, and there'll be restoration common to the prophets, okay? Verse 4, one who speaks in a language edifies himself, and there's nothing more edifying to yourself, nothing more building up to yourself than thankfulness and worship. By the way, just try that. Just take time to get alone. This is the 4th of July. Just get alone and just start thanking God for every good thing in your life. Your spirit will be transformed. Everybody here can do that. Something about thankfulness, something about worship that just transforms us. Evidently, when God's working this language inside of an individual, something's happened on the inside, probably the same way where they're being built up. But prophecies edify the church. Why? Because everybody can understand. They can't understand that tongue thing, but everybody can understand the prophecy. Okay? Verse 5. Now, I wish that you all spoke in languages. That's like Moses saying, I wish everybody was a prophet. That's not going to be the case. He's already said that's not going to be the case, but this is very cool. I'm not against languages. But even more that you would prophesy, speak in a way that everybody understands. Greater is the one who speaks in a way that everybody understands, who prophesies, has that gift, than one who speaks in a language. Unless, that ambassador has somebody there to interpret so that everybody can be edified. Don't miss the big idea. Verse 3, edification. Verse 4, edification. Verse 5, edification. It's all about, is what I'm saying, building other folks up. Don't get too hung up on, I don't still get languages, I still don't get prophecy. Don't get too hung up on that. Is what you're doing edifying others? Are you pursuing what's really going to be edifying others? Or are you just kind of sneaking in and sneaking out and you don't give a rip about other people? Okay, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in languages, so Paul's using his own example, what am I going to profit you? That's where the title came from, by the way. How do I profit you? It's not about, why do I go to church? Well, to get something. I need to get a word from God. No, that's not why we go to church. That's not why we gather. We gather to profit one another. Total transformation in our thinking. Before we ever get there, we're thinking, how can I build up other believers? What shall I profit you unless I speak in a way of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? There was a way, something, some way that you understand. Verse 7, even lifeless things like musical instruments, they're useless unless the sounds are distinct and understandable. verse 8, like an army. You know, the bugle guy, he's got to hit, you can't hit taps when it's time to charge. Not going to work, okay? Or just start blowing in the air, okay? And so it is, verse 10, with languages, with sounds, phoné, sounds, verse 10. Different ones have different meaning, but if I'm speaking a language that another guy doesn't understand, it's a waste of time. Okay, that's verse 11, all right? Verse 12, so also you are zealous of spiritual gifts, since you are, seek to abound. What's the big idea? For the edification of the church. Again, if you don't get the tongues thing, like I don't, or the prophecy thing, don't miss the big idea. Whatever you do, verse 12, circle that verse. Whatever you do, say, God, please use me. Help me to listen in a way that's encouraging to other people. Help me to hug in a way. Help me to come alongside of other people. Help me to speak in a way that's building up other believers. Okay, verse 13. Therefore, let the one who speaks in a language pray that he may interpret. There's a case in point that go, you might have the gift of languages, but you don't have the gift of interpretation. Ask God for that gift also. God may add that to your palate if you believe in languages being for today. Verse 14, for if I pray, here's why you want to pray for that gift of interpretation also. For if I pray in a tongue or a language, my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. I don't get what's going on in my mind. God's kind of conversing with my spirit in some way. Ed, do you understand that? No, I don't have a clue. Okay, I'm just reading it going, I don't know, never experienced it, never seen what I thought was reality, but I'm not going to say it's not the case. Evidently, real language, real tongues or real languages from heaven, so to speak, if that's happening, something on the inside of the spirit is being built up. Verse 15, I will pray. Here's the outcome. Here's my application, Paul says, as way of my example. What's the outcome? I'll pray in the Spirit, which goes back to verse 14. I'll pray in this language because God's given Paul that gift. And I'll pray also with my mind is the way most of us pray. I'll sing, or psalm is the Greek, strum, which probably means singing to an instrument accompany. You know, I'll strum in the Spirit, which probably not just picking on a guitar, but probably singing to that. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the mind also. Otherwise, and that's why you see some churches in there, everybody's kind of like singing in the Spirit. The problem with that is that's forbidden later on in the passage. That's the problem with that. Verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit, that word for bless is from, we get eulogy. If you speak good things back to God about who he is, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted, you know, the guy who can't interpret, or the lost guy, say the amen at your giving of thanks. So tongues seems to be a language with, you know, heavenly language with God. This tongues. There's another tongues in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 8 and chapter 10. There's another tongues that are understandable languages that people can't speak. It's like us going to Germany and all of a sudden starting to speak German. I mean, just, you know, without studying it. You know, God did that in the book of Acts. Is he still doing that today? I don't know. We hear reports of God doing it. I've never been around it. I don't know. We pray for that when we go on mission trips, you know. Never seen it happen, okay? It's a possibility. God's not putting himself in a box. All right, so Paul's saying, you know, I'm speaking, I'll pray in the Spirit, but I'll pray with my mind also. So in the church, it's going to be more praying with my mind alone, at home, somewhere else, wherever else. I may do these things more in the Spirit, letting God just kind of guide me. And again, wherever worship is taking place, and that's what's going on here, there's going to be upbuilding. How it works, I don't know, but don't miss the big idea. Verse 16. If you bless in the Spirit, or you thank God for who he is in the Spirit, lost people aren't going to be able to say, or other people aren't going to be able to say, amen. Notice that word, amen. Wherever you go in the world, you hear that word. You hear people pray in whatever language it is. I mean, all throughout Asia, everywhere, you always hear that word, amen, transliterated into every language. Verse 17, for you are giving thanks. Notice tongues is about mostly giving thanks. Well enough, and that was the way it was in Acts chapter 2 with understandable languages also, by the way. But the other guy's not built up. So, you know, what's the point? You're being childish. Verse 18, I thank God I speak in languages more than y'all, which could be both the Acts 2 thing where he's speaking in different languages in places where he didn't know the language, and also speaking in maybe if there is a heavenly language, this heavenly language. Verse 19, however, in the church, you know, when we gather, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind that I might instruct others, then 10,000. It's the Greek word for the biggest, you know, a gazillion words with a tongue. You know, so when we gather, I want to speak in a way that people understand to build them up. What's the big idea? Building up others, edifying others. When I gather, I want to do what edifies others. Again, if you don't get all of this stuff, it's just like blah, blah, blah. Get the big idea. We gather, we come together, and my prayer, God, just use me in a way that I can build up other folks. Maybe I can't speak very well, but I can listen, I can love, I can value. How can you use me, God? And God will gradually grow us. Verse 20, brethren, don't be children in your thinking in evil. Be babies. Don't get a degree in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. What's he saying? Grow up. It's time to start focusing on the well-being of other folks. That's why we get together, to build up each other. Verse 21. I'm probably going to pick that up next time, but I want us to just take that home for homework, verse 21 and following. I'm going to draw our attention to a couple other passages coming up, and then next time we'll probably pick it up there, go over it fairly quickly, and move on into chapter 15, which is a much easier to understand passage and glorious. Not that this is not glorious. Verse 21, God's given a law in the Old Testament. He spoke about stuff in that law, and he applies tongues, the law to tongues, and it's used today. Don't worry about all that right now. Kind of study that in your own time. We'll get together next time and look at that. Verse 26, focus on verse 26. Reason I'm taking you there, I'm looking at the clock, I'm looking at, this is like heavy stuff, and we only take so much of this. Verse 26, what is the outcome then, brothers? You know, we got the big idea. Love edifies. Pursue love. That means edify each other. Pursue what builds up each other. That's the big idea. So what's the outcome? Verse 26. So what do we do with this? What's the practical application? When you assemble, someone turned this into a question, which I think that's unfortunate. I think it's the way it is in your translation. I think it's a statement. When you assemble, each one has a psalm. You say, why do you make that a statement? Well, because that's what chapter 12 is about. That's what chapter 13 is about. That's what chapter 14 is about. You know, we're gathering to build up each other. God gives us all different gifts to build up each other. So it makes sense in context to make this a solid statement, you know, of practice. And it'll go on to say, by the way, at the end of the passage, this is the way it is in all the churches, what he's applying here. So verse 26, we're going to focus on that. Close down with this, okay? Verse 26. What is the outcome, brothers? What do we do with this? When you gather, each one has a psalm. And by the way, most of their Bible was poetry. The Old Testament, most of it's poetry. Why is that? So they could memorize it much easier. God gave it to them in poetry, Hebrew poetry. It doesn't sound like poetry to us, but if you're a Hebrew, very memorizable. So each one has a scripture, if you will. You can sing it, you can chant it, or just say it, okay? But there, again, they had most of the Old Testament was poetry, so they could come together with a passage of scripture and be able to quote it to the others who are gathering. You know, it might be like this. You know, I was having my time this week. I was going through the book of Isaiah. I was going through the book of Ephesians or whatever. And, man, this passage just really stuck out to me. This is how it affected me in my marriage and with my kids. And God just really spoke through this passage just in a glorious way this week. And I just want to share it with y'all. So I'm in a group of, 8, 10, 12 people, and I'm just able to share that passage with others. And perhaps God would use that because of my enthusiasm in the lives of other folks. So each one, when you get together, you have a psalm. Obviously, you know, we can't have a free-for-all here. Everybody stand up. Everybody had a great devotional time to stand up and start ripping out the passage, you know, whipping out the passage. You know, we can't do that. It's too big a group, okay? But we can do that in small groups. Each one has a teaching. You know, I came with a teaching today. You know, study scripture, and hopefully this has some kind of meaning to it. But we can't all do that together in a large group. But we can do it in small groups. So you got the passage, you got some kind of a teaching from the passage. Might be a sentence or two, just something that, you know, God spoke to you about. Has a revelation. God spoke to your heart in some way. Not everybody has the gift of prophecy, by the way. But every believer is indwelt by God, and God guides us into godly thoughts. You may not be a prophet or have that gift, but God still guides you, a revelation from God. A tongue, a language. Again, some of you think that's for today, some of you don't. If you're going to come here and practice that, we're going to be pretty blunt with you. We're going to go, if we feel like, you know, you're making it up, it's not going to work here, okay? You can come and blast me for that, but if you're just going to do gibberish, we want to hear a language from heaven, okay? Otherwise, practice it at your home. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Jonathan, Wayne, other pastors that are here, but we want to hear the genuine, okay? If we're not sure, we'll give you the benefit of a doubt. So the leadership doesn't see this as having ceased. Maybe it has. Maybe it hasn't. We're not going to put God in a box. We don't know. We just want to be real. So you be real with us also. An interpretation. Somebody else is present. You don't use the tongue without an interpreter being present, by the way. That's forbidden. The rules come up in just a moment. Actually, the next verse, verse 27. One at a time. At the most, three in any gathering. And there's got to be an interpreter present or don't do it. Okay, so when everybody gathers together and there's two or more people speaking in this language, this heavenly language supposedly, that's not from God. Okay, just going to say it. Look at verse 27. That's not from God. Because the Holy Spirit, you say, well, you're limited to the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's limited himself. He's going, this is the way I'm going to use this thing. So it's going to be at the most three. There's going to be an interpreter present, and you're never, ever, ever going to hear an assembly of people speaking in a, you know, in some kind of heavenly language, everybody speaking at the same time. You'll say, well, what about Acts chapter 2? Oh, boy, I didn't mean to go into this, but I'll just finish it real fast. Acts chapter 2 were understandable. They weren't a heavenly language. They were understandable languages. You can read Acts chapter 2. The folks there were able to understand their particular language by the divine miracle of God. So there wasn't the need for an interpreter. Everybody understood what was being said. It's completely different than this heavenly language use. Completely different, okay? So you got to deal with that. That's where we are as leadership on this thing, okay? We're never looking for everybody, two more people to speak in a language at the same time. Not going to happen. That's not from God. It's from, I don't know, somebody else, okay? Verse 26 again, how do we apply this? I totally bring this in for a landing. How do we apply this? Look, before I come, I am told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, to consider how I can encourage others on to love and good deeds. I shouldn't forsake the assembling of myself together with others, but come together to encourage them, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Ephesians 4:15, I need to be speaking truth in love to others. Many other passages. How do we apply this? Here's how we apply this. If you're part of Jonathan's group, for example, you come to the large group time. We do the large group thing together. We worship God together, learn together, kind of a unifying thing. But then that's not, you know, church is not done, okay? Church obviously goes through the entire week. You're calling each other. You're doing life together through the week. But you're coming to this and participating in this. But then you can't, how do you do what we just read in this gathering? There's not enough time. So what we do, although we could do some of this in this gathering, by the way, it's a thought, okay? But we don't have enough time for everybody to be doing this in this gathering. So that's why we have small groups listed on the backside of your bulletin. Count that as part of your going to church. You go to a small group, and there you're able to participate, at least listen to other folks who bring a teaching, who bring something. And so that's why Jonathan, I've heard comments that, man, I just wish Jonathan would just teach. I love his teaching. I love Wayne's teaching. Man, if Wayne and Jonathan and these other, Donnie, if they could just shut up everybody and just teach, Man, it'd be a great group. Just shut everybody up. Just teach. But they're not going to. That's why Jonathan invites the participation and Wayne and Don and the ladies because of this. This is where it's more of a monologue, but that's going to be where, you know, there's going to be the invitation for folks to participate with whatever God's laid on their heart. They're not going to force the issue, but they're going to give the ability for folks to do that. And it's a great way to do it. By the way, the focus is not on just on anything, but it's on truth. It's on edification. It's on speaking what builds other people up. So our leaders have to be discerning. If somebody just wants to babble about some meaningless thing, you know, and that's not a good place to do it. Do it outside, somewhere outside in the lobby or whatever. But it's going to be focused on truth. It's going to be focused on building each other up. But that participation. So Jonathan's going through. What are you going through, Jonathan, right now? The true Christianity, kind of living as a true Christian. Okay, and you're going through the book of Revelation, and Don's going through the book of Matthew. Okay, and then you're up to this. This is, by the way, this is Jeff and Sherry. Jeff and Sherry. There's another Jeff and Sherry way back a long time ago. and they're going to be teaching just doing life together.
Yeah, actually, you've done a great, I appreciate your introduction for
everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Jonathan wants to know what's going on.
Okay, Jonathan. You're welcome, Jonathan, but I don't think anybody would like that idea. You did a great introduction, the importance of relationship. We're gonna take and look at our mission within this local body. We're going to look at specifically at the means of grace and applying those and asking the question, why is it important? How do we apply it? And what's preventing us from effectively serving and the kingdom? And to edify, encourage one another throughout the week to be faithful to that calling.
Okay. So you can pay me later for the shameless introduction, the entire sermon introduction to that kind of thing. Okay, cool. That's good. We appreciate y'all, the leaders doing today, and then through the week there's some house groups. They're on the backside of your bulletin. You want to be part of those. Why? Because you want to obey Scripture. If you're like me, go back to the beginning, and you're scared to death to meet with somebody. I mean, think about it. Let's just go into a time of prayer right now if we could. Why don't you really think about it? God, you know, you've given me a family. This church, there's other good churches that are trying to just stick with the Word of God and live for you together. You've given me a family. And it's time for me to grow up and just move beyond, you know, kind of this attendance mindset to get something. And it's time, it's just time for me to start doing life with other believers. And I'm scared to death what that might mean, but you know, they're not going to hurt me. I can go, I can stay silent, I can listen, and in the course of time, I'll catch on, I'll learn. And I'm able to do some practical stuff. You know, I'm a guy, and I can't speak, but I can hammer, you know. And so I can use a screwdriver, you know. And so God, just guide me. And what it is to just step out and to pursue love, to pursue really valuing other folks, and to have an enthusiasm about coming together in a large group gathering, but even more so into a small group gathering, maybe even getting involved in one of the ministries here, because love edifies. And you've given me a love this morning for you and for the folks. Guide me into a life of love. Help me to take that home with my family. Have your way in me. Make me a man who is truly a man, like the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who truly loves, values others, and lives courageously in that love. Make me a woman of God as well, Father, for the ladies. I bring them in. And Father, just work in our ladies. Thank you for the godly ladies that are here, and thank you for the brand new faces. And just pray that you work in every lady to make every lady into a godly, truly loving, gracious lady. Have your way in us, Father. We pray for our boys and girls. Thank you for them. Grow them, should you tarry. Grow them in your perfect design for each one of them. May they be lovers of men. Make them into lovers, Father. Thank you for forgiveness, for grace, privilege to just not get a lot of stuff, but to at least grab the big ideas of the Bible. Help us to continue on in time in your word every single day. And Jesus, most of all, don't just right now, if you've tuned me out, tune me back in. Most of all, Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet. You're God, you're eternal, and you took on a body. And Jesus, you lived a perfect life of love, valuing others, edifying, building up others through your words, through your actions, your example. And Jesus, you purposely went to be punished for all the bad things I've ever done, ever will do. You purposely went to be punished in my place. And I believe as you hung on that cross 2,000 years ago, you are God in a body. You're not limited by time. You knew every act of rebellion I would ever commit, every act of treason against you, my king, and just ignoring you and breaking your laws and not giving really a rip about your laws. Every act of rebellion and treason you took on your body, you, the king. And God the Father punished you, Jesus, God the Son, in my place. I don't even begin to get how you did that. But that's what happened. Jesus, you died. 3 days later, you rose again. 40 days later, you ascended back into heaven. You're alive today. And you offer me the gift of freedom from religion and merit to simply trusting you as my Savior and Lord. Jesus, right now I trust you as my Savior and Lord. No turning back. Guide me how to live a life of love for you and a life of love for others. Guide me into what gratitude, a life of thankfulness is all about toward you, my King, who paid the price in my place for me. Jesus, I trust you as Savior, as Lord. Have your way in me and guide me to be a lover of your people, as imperfect as they are. Thank you for your unmerited love toward me. Amen and amen. Boys and girls are next door. Y'all can stay for small groups if you desire, or you can split. I'm available down here. Other leaders, male and female, will be kind of walking around. If you have anything on your heart, come and talk to us. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.